Chapter 2, Psycholinguistics. So, you're in a tough relationship with English. Let's talk about that. Maybe you've tried to pick up an American accent before and it made you uncomfortable. Maybe your family thinks that you shouldn't change. Maybe you've tried and failed and now you're frustrated. Whatever the reason, you've got an unsatisfying relationship with English. We're here to fix that. Let's get your head in the right place. Learning a whole language is indeed a big deal, but you've already done all the heavy lifting, having learned the grammar and vocabulary. Right now, we're just doing the fine-tuning and working on your accent. Here's what you should expect after the first 1 to 6 weeks, depending on your diligence.
Hello, my name is Hong Hao Tan. I'm taking American accent training. Hello, my name is Hong Hao Tan. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Hong Hao Tan. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Ria Matsubara. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Ria Matsubara. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Manuel Rojas. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Manuel. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Kelly Lu. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Kelly Lu. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Nat Bonham. I'm taking American accent training.
Hello, my name is Naz. I'm taking American accent training.
There are two ways to pick up the accent, all at once or step by step. There's the do-it-now people and the people who like to change slowly, thinking that there's no validity to things that happen quickly to them. People don't think it's real if it's fast. But that's the Nike slogan, just do it. You know you can, and even if it's faster than you expect, it's still valid. It's all about behavior modeling. You don't have to believe it, you just have to do it. All at once. Just do it. Listen to the sounds and rhythms, capture some essential elements, and go. Step by step. Apply each technique one by one to develop your voice quality, pronunciation, intonation, phrasing, and linking. After you've mastered each of these elements, work on integrating them into speech. Which method will work best for you? We'll try the all-at-once way first to see if we can jumpstart you with this shortcut. This isn't so much about the American accent as much as it's about you doing pure mimicry. Don't think, don't overanalyze, just imitate exactly what you hear in every aspect, voice quality, pronunciation, rhythm, phrasing, and word flow. Exercise 2-1, Pure Mimicry. Listen to this heavy Australian accent, record yourself, and compare the two. If you don't have a recorder handy, go to americanaccent.com/recorder.
Place cool, Stella.
When comparing your recording with our Aussie friend, see if you copied his nasality, used plays for the pronunciation of please, and included the distinctive phrasing as he finishes up the sentence. If your recording matches closely and you are comfortable with the process, go to Chapter 3 and get started. If it wasn't entirely satisfying for you or your recording didn't sound like him, let's take a moment to think about who you are and how you learn best. Exercise 2-2. Are you steadfast or freewheeling? Answer the following questions with a check mark in the appropriate box.
Number 1. Would you rather answer an essay question or a multiple choice question? Number 2. Do you start from yes or start from no? Number 3. Do you prefer solutions that are open-ended, abstract, and subject to interpretation, or clear-cut, precise, and objective? Number 4. Are you comfortable with a flexible time frame with constant updates, or more deadline-oriented? Number 5. Do you prefer to follow another person's lead, or do things your own way? If you selected the second option 2 or more times, try this experiment. Just for today, when someone says something to you, practice temporarily suspending judgment. Respond with, that's interesting. Tell me more, or you could be right. Not only will this help you listen better, it will also make you a better conversationalist and open your mind to picking up and using this accent.
Exercise 2-3. Mimicry. Say the following sentence out loud.
There was a time when people really had a way with words. Did you say it out loud? Not to yourself, actually out loud. If you did, go on to the next exercise. If not, let's talk about why you didn't. As we all know, stubborn is a negative word, and nobody wants to attribute a negative word to himself or herself. As the famous curmudgeon Bertrand Russell said, "I'm firm. You are obstinate. He is a pig-headed fool." Interestingly, stubbornness has both positive, consistent, reliable, persistent, and negative, stubborn, inflexible, rigid, aspects. Think back in your life to a time when persistence paid off. It may have been following through on an idea to successful fruition or overcoming apparently insurmountable odds on something important to you. Own that. It's yours. One of my favorite responses was when I asked a successful businessman if he'd had everything handed to him, if building his business had been easy, or if he'd had to fight to succeed. "Fight?" he barked. "I've had to kill." Now, however, we're going to look at how stubbornness can get in your way. Stubbornness isn't necessarily something that just happens later in life, but is often an innate trait. Many of us have a deep-seated feeling of what is right, and it's hard to go against this. If you're a visual learner, chances are you did well on spelling tests, and so you have a sense of the rightness of spelling. It can be checked and validated. Speech, however, may seem very fluid and freeform to you. For this process, however, you need to embrace the rightness of phonetic spelling for speech as much as you embrace the rightness of spelling for written English and the rightness of mathematical notation for numbers. Sometimes you're not being stubborn. You really do forget because you're focusing on what you're saying instead of how you're saying it. To illustrate this, a researcher had a problem with the door of his lab refrigeration unit, whose tall, upright handle had come loose. Not having time to fix it, he decided to open it by pulling on the side. Not 5 minutes later, he went back to grab some more vials and opened the fridge with the handle. It came completely loose and clonked him on the head. Ow! This time, he knew he had to remember, so he put a note right on the handle to remind himself. And again, a few minutes later, when he went back to get another vial, he grabbed the handle and hit himself on the head again. Ow! Clearly, he needed a more dramatic solution. He took a whole page of newspaper and covered the entire handle of the fridge, so that the next time he mindlessly grabbed the handle, the newspaper crackled and he realized what he was about to do. It's not like he wanted to get hit in the head. He just kept forgetting because he was focused on the goal and not the process. Sometimes people speaking English are so focused on the end product of using words in conversation, like he was in the end product of getting vials out of the fridge, that they forget to include the accent and pronunciation. Think, then act. When you have learned the techniques, but forget to apply them in speech, you are acting before thinking. In order to train yourself to think first, devise a strategy that works for you. For the researcher, it was putting a sheet of newspaper over the fridge handle. For you, it might be taking a deep breath before speaking, counting to three, pulling on a rubber band, or even the old school standby, a string around your finger. The point is, while you are internalizing these new sounds and rhythms, to create a stopgap measure to get you to focus on the process and not so much the goal. The four stages of learning. Let's look at the transition you're going to be going through. 1. Unconscious incompetence. You don't even know you're making mistakes. 2. Conscious incompetence. You're aware, but you don't know how to fix them. 3. Conscious competence. When you focus really hard, you're actually pretty good. 4. Unconscious competence. You've internalized the concepts, and it's second nature. You're most likely edging from 2 to 3. To get to 4, the key is consistent practice, a minimum of 15 minutes per day, plus applying the techniques whenever you talk.
Exercise 2-4, Correlating Sounds and Phonetic Transcription. Listen to this sound and correlate it with this phonetic transcription. Got it. Repeat this sound and notice the open ah sound of ga, the way the tip of your tongue flicks on the bumps at the top of your mouth, and the fact that the air doesn't pop out at the end of the word. Listen to the audio and say this out loud 10 times. Exercise 2-5, Correlating Phonetic Transcription and Regular Spelling. Listen to this sound and correlate it with this phonetic transcription. Got it. Using the exact same sounds as before, observe how different the spelling is. Listen to the audio and say this out loud 10 times. Skiddies. Let me tell you a little story about how I came to get word connections in French, or as they like to call them, liaisons. I stumbled upon the word skiddies and was amazed that it could represent ce qu'ils disent. Wow, that looks different, I thought to myself. They'll never understand me if I say it like that. Fortunately, my empirical side prevailed, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll try it, even if it's just to prove that it doesn't work. I was in Marseille, so I combined it with the local pronunciation of je ne sais pas and managed to work je sais pas ce qu'il dit in as a conversational response. Whoa! To my huge surprise, it worked, and the person started talking to me in real French and not baby language. That led me to part two of the epiphany. Yikes, if I do this, it'll totally raise their expectations of how well I speak. And then, I'm talking the way I want them to talk to me so I can understand them more easily. Once I realized how I'd been sabotaging myself, I started trusting the phonetics and stopped basing my pronunciation on spelling. My confidence went up because thought follows behavior, and my new behavior resulted in more sophisticated, intelligent conversations. People didn't have to talk down to my language level, but could actually talk with me at my conversational level. It's my goal that you have that same realization with Got It. My job is to give the epiphany. Your job is to hold on and use it. Exercise 2-6, gathering that empirical evidence. Trusting in this method is an important component of how successful you'll be, so we're going to do a short trust exercise. Take this phrase out into the world and use it exactly the way it's presented here. Try it out on coworkers and friends. Watch how they respond to you now that they can hear you playing with the language a little. Got it. Got it. Got it. We tend to think of language primarily as a tool or as a weapon. Instead, start playing around in the English toy box. Play with the sounds, rhythms, and patterns. Have fun. You'll find that some of the inhibitions fall away and your linguistic adaptability kicks in. Phonetic transcription equals mathematical notation. If you accept that 2 times 2 can also be written 2 squared, you're comfortable with multiple labels for a single concept. This is the same principle as the word cat, also being written as K digraph A-T, cat. Here's a simple 2-part rule for the letter O. 1. In a 1-syllable word, O sounds like ah, unless the word ends in E. Hot, lost, Tom, Bob, .com. 2. In a stressed syllable, O also sounds like ah. Possible, Holland, philosophy. Here's a 2-part rule for the letter A. 1. In a 1-syllable word, A sounds like a, unless the word ends in E. Cat, Sam, drab. 2. In a stressed syllable, A sounds like a. Rational, manager, catastrophe. Once you've internalized the basic rules of phonetics, you need to diligently, persistently, and stubbornly apply them universally. In computing terms, think of doing a global search all and replace. Some people have an initial aversion to reading phonetics because it's new and confusing. It doesn't even look like English. This is where we're going to have you practice some of that open-mindedness and trust. Accept that if you read the phonetics, you will have an American accent. An accountant kept making the same pronunciation errors in English over and over again. Asked why, her response was consistently, "I forgot." When asked if she forgot arithmetic, the answer was, "Well, of course not. That would make my life miserable." Well, not applying the phonetics was making her life miserable.
Overconfidence. Counterintuitively, it's sometimes overconfidence that gets in a person's way. You're used to the positive rewards of doing things quickly and independently. An algebraic equation, a sales report with a high closing rate, a dissertation. Because you're good at what you do, you can skip over certain details. However, if you try to rush through speaking English, you'll end up skipping crucial details. Furthermore, if you only rely on your own judgment about your accent, particularly if it's spelling-based, you're going to fall far short of the mark. What to do about it? Start from scratch and make a conscious effort to get rid of your preconceptions. Put yourself in the position of knowing nothing about pronunciation, intonation, voice quality, word connections, etc. Then, lay the foundation with basic sounds and rhythms. Rebuild a new strong structure using the grammar and vocab you've worked so hard to acquire. The what factor. Let's do a quick assessment of what other people think of your accent. How often during a day does someone ask you to repeat yourself? How long does it take to give your email address, and how many times do you have to spell your name? That's your what factor. But the real question is, how does this affect you? How does it affect your working situation, your home life, your life as a whole? Does it make you feel discouraged, or does it encourage you to change? Or does it make you feel like everyone else needs to change around you? Let me tell you a story about someone who felt this way. We'll call her Mei Li. A Chinese professor was studying English in the U.S., and her instructor had suggested that, for convenience, she Americanize the pronunciation of her name, and she flew into a rage. She excoriated him in a long email about how disrespectful this was to 5,000 years of her Chinese ancestors. The American instructor was stunned and passed her on upstairs. The senior instructor set about finding out what was going on. To say Dr. Li was linguistically rigid is a profound understatement. The instructor would ask, "But let's say you're at the DMV. The clerk doesn't know from Chinese ancestors. Don't you just want him to catch your name the first time and to process the transaction?" "No," she would declare. "It's my name." The instructor finally told her that they simply had to make a breakthrough, so her entire homework would consist of leaving a voicemail with her name Americanized so it would be easier to understand by any random person. She left 8 to 10 identical Chinese-sounding attempts. Finally, she left one that started with a deep sigh and a deeper voice. "My name is Mei Li." It was a thing of beauty. Unfortunately, 30 seconds later, she left another very nasal one. "My name is Mei Li!"
Go on, change your name. No, not permanently or legally. But get comfortable with saying your own name differently than you have for your entire life. It may feel weird, unreal, surreal, or just plain dumb, but it's an invaluable mental exercise. Every time I landed in a new country, my first order of business was to find out who I was, or at least how my name was pronounced. I went from Madrid, "Me llamo Anita," to Paris, "Je m'appelle Annie," to Tokyo, "Watashi wa Ani desu." Drop the baggage. For a lot of people, the American accent comes with a lot of emotional baggage. Americans are loud, emotionally immature, unsophisticated. It may be conflicting for an educated sophisticate such as yourself to work towards actually sounding like this. But you need to fit in and be understood, so drop off the baggage. Just focus on the pure sounds.
Emotional investment in particular sounds. A man with a distinctly Spanish accent had trouble distinguishing iPod from iPad. He learned the ass sound for iPad, but didn't extrapolate that sound to other words, such as cat, laugh, or dance. It would be natural to think that he simply didn't know where to use it. But surprisingly, when asked why he didn't use the ass sound, he laughingly responded, "Because I hate it." Some people have a strong identification with their pronunciation, considering it part of their identity or personal brand. They may reject a single sound or the entire accent. Unless the change wells from within, the accent won't take root and become a true part of them. Motivation. Sofia Vergara, a Colombian actor in the American sitcom Modern Family, was doing an interview explaining that her 21-year-old son had seen a video of her many years earlier and said, "Mom, you're the only person who's come to America and your accent got worse." Her utterly charming response was, "It's the money. I don't have to do it anymore." In another interview, Oprah Winfrey asked why her accent seems to be getting heavier even though she's been living in America for some time. Sophia explained that she actually does it for comedic effect. "I realized that sometimes it was funnier to say you rather than you." She's very self-aware and has excellent reasons for maintaining her brand. Over the years, however, we've heard pretty much every excuse from people who have demonstrated that they are able to create the sounds in isolation, but don't go on to the next step of universally applying the rules. "I feel uncomfortable. I don't understand the rules. I wasn't thinking about it. I was focusing on what I was saying. It's not possible. Why should I have to? It makes me sound arrogant. People will laugh at me. I tried and can't. It's not right. I forgot. I was rushing."
Does pronunciation really matter? People say, "It's just a detail. Does it really matter? Isn't okay good enough for what's needed and not worth the effort of going to the next level? We don't have that sound in my language and we communicate just fine without it." This may be true, but if you're, let's say, a doctor, don't you want your patients to know the difference between your saying, "He's in urology" and "He's in neurology," or "We did a baloney amputation" and not "We did a baloney amputation"? So yes, pronunciation matters. Go to extremes. As an exercise, we have people put on a caricature of an American accent, and generally it's quite accurate. They're reluctant, however, to use it because of the inherent mockery involved. It's okay. I can assure you that Americans won't even notice when you're putting on a super heavy American accent. They'll just think your English got better. Your family and friends may react negatively and make fun of your nascent attempts to modify your speech. They like you the way you are. They may think that your accent is cute. They may think that if you change how you talk, you may change who you are. The bottom line is that you'll sound different and they may not like it. We recommend practicing on strangers. They don't have a baseline and can accept you at face value. At this point, it may be hard for you to conceive how differently you'll be treated. A lot of Americans, I regret to say, turn off when they hear a foreign accent or are less than kind. Since we can't change all of them, we can make a small change in you.
Your own true voice. There is not, of course, just one American voice, even for one person. People associate their voices with themselves, but have many different voices throughout their lives. You have a different voice as a child than as an adult, different in business than at a party, and so on. Stephen Hawking, the British astrophysicist, had an English accent prior to the paralyzation of his vocal cords. After using a robotic voice with an American accent, he came to associate himself with that voice. Several years later, when a production of the DuckTalk DCT-01 voice synthesizer was discontinued, he declined to switch to a model with a British accent. He identified with the American voice and associated it with himself. I would not want to change, even if I were offered a British-sounding voice. I would feel I'd become a different person, he said. 7 Steps to a Perfect Accent. 1. Yep, I have an accent, I want to change it, and I'm sure this program will work for me. 2. I'm making a conscious effort to apply the techniques in an orderly, step-by-step manner. 3. I have taken an inventory of the sounds and rhythm patterns. 4. I am keeping a daily log of the what factor. 5. I record myself once a week, compare it with my original recording, and take specific and detailed notes of changes. 6. When I talk to people, I consciously and conscientiously apply the techniques. 7. I read aloud for 15 minutes a day with a phonetic transcription or imitate an audio text. The pledge. It's not the duration, it's the consistency. I'm training my mouth, lips, tongue, and mind.